الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بادروا بالأعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected friends and elders, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before leaving the dunya, addressed the ummah saying, تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْمَحَجَّةِ الْبَيْضَى لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا. I have left you on such a proof or such a way of life that is extremely clear. It is so clear, لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا, the night is as bright as the day. In other words, nothing in deen has been left unexplained. Every need of man, every predicament that could ever befall man, the solution for it is in deen. He asked Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Hajjatul Wada', Ala hal ballaghtu, have I conveyed the message? They all testified and said, Bala, definitely, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have conveyed the message. So whatever needed to be passed on to the ummah was passed on. There were things that pertain to man's day-to-day general affairs. And among the messages from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that were passed on to the ummah via Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were certain forecasts as to what was going to happen as time progresses. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warn the ummah of different obstacles that will come along the way, of different tests, trials and tribulations, of different fitnas that were to befall people. In this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us so that we can make adequate preparations. In many ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the warnings of certain fitnas and trials, and he also gives us the solution. One such hadith in Sahih Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ فِتَنًا كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُزْلِمِ, that hasten and rush towards doing a'mal, rush towards doing good deeds, before such fitnas befall you that will be as bad as the dark portions of the night. Before we proceed further, respected friends and elders, we hear this word a lot, a fitna. Sometimes it is translated as trial, tribulation, a test. In the Arabic language, the word fitna used to be used for that test which a person fails. If a person is in a fitna, and if something is classified as fitna for him, that means he never passed that test. In Sharia, Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, the commentator of Bukhari Sharif, mentions that kullu ma yashghaluka anillah, anything that deters you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything that takes your gaze away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it makes you forget Allah, forget the akhirat, forget the fact that you're going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we inspect in our lives, respected friends and elders, undoubtedly there are several things that are there to deter us and to distract us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For some people, it is a partner of life. For some people, it may be some other associate, some friend. For some people, it may be technology. For others, it may be earning wealth, etc. But the fitnas that are out there today are in many forms. And we should think, respected friends and elders, that sometimes, let alone being unconscious of Allah in our daily chores, in our daily affairs, but whilst taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, we don't think of Allah. A man is in sajda, the closest posture he can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's taking the name of Allah, and at that time also his mind is somewhere else. He doesn't even realize he said this tasbih or not. He didn't realize he took the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at that time, respected friends and elders, what's going through our minds? That is my and your fitna. That is the thing that is distracting us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once we identify these objects, There's a need for us to eradicate it from our lives. There's a need for us to tackle the problem. Otherwise, how much worse can it get, respected friends and allies? That whilst taking the name of Allah, whilst being so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the things that flash to a person's mind are not even permissible to speak sometimes. So together with making dua against fitna, we have to make an effort to eradicate these items from our lives. However, this hadith that I quoted from Sahih Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about fitnas that are even worse than the normal daily fitnas that a person encounters. And that is those fitnas that are kaqita'il layl al muslim, that are as bad as the portions of a dark night. Ulama explain the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew the comparison of the fitnas with the darknesses of the night. So there are several reasons. One of it could be because the portions of night are consecutive. It doesn't happen that it's dark for 2 hours and we get half an hour daylight of break and thereafter another 2-3 hours of darkness. But rather, once darkness sets in, then it remains until the morning. There's no break in between. Similarly, when these fitnas will commence and start, then these fitnas will remain. There'll be no chance. There'll be no breather space in between. A second reason why the comparison to the darknesses of the night is because every portion of the night is darker than the previous. So every fitna will be worse than the one before it. And thirdly, respected friends and allies, when it is dark, a person can't notice vice from virtue, good from bad, friend from enemy. A couple of weeks ago, there was an article in the paper. A person outside of Maritzburg, 1 o'clock in the morning, he wakes up, he hears some noise. He understands there's a thief in the house. And he takes his gun and he shoots what he thinks is the thief. In the meanwhile, he shoots his beloved wife who was pregnant. So in the darkness of the night, you can't identify vice from virtue. So these fitnas will be so bad and so intense, respected friends and elders, that sometimes a solution also will be difficult. What do we do? How do we tackle ourselves? Who do we believe? And undoubtedly, we find ourselves in that zamana, in that era, respected friends and elders, where every second day or every day there's a new fitna. At every turn there's some gossip about some person, and we don't know what stance to take. We don't know what is the solution to the problem. In a hadith al-Qudsi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a time will come, I'll put such fitna on the people, تَدَعُ الْحَلِيمَ فِيهِمْ حَيْرًا, that the aqil, an intelligent person, also will be confused. A person who normally solves your problems, he also wouldn't know what solution is there to this problem. So these are such fitnas, respected friends and allies, that are as dark as that, as consecutive as that, and as unclear as that. Don't we realize in our own lives, things that were supposed to be good are now termed as bad, and bad is termed as good. وَكَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْمُنْكَرَ مَعْرُوفًا وَالْمَعْرُوفَ مُنْكَرًا. What will be your condition, my ummah? That when you will term vice to be virtue and virtue to be vice, you will term good as bad and bad as good. Sahaba radiallahu anhum couldn't believe this. Aka'inun hadha ya Rasulallah, will this really happen? That the ummah will term good, somebody is trying to do something good, then people will speak out against him. And when somebody is engaged in bad, then he will be proud of that bad. In fact, he will boast as to how he did somebody down, and he will boast as to how he made money in a haram avenue. And he will turn that to be something good, and people will look up to him for that. But in this hadith of Muslim Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us a solution. And he tells us, what will save you during that storm? What should you use to take you through those periods of darkness? And that is, badiru bil a'mal. It is your a'mal and your good deeds, your acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you will inculcate in your life. That is what will help you through the stormy weather. Because like this, fitnas will be like the darkness of the night, but every night is followed by day. Every fitna, inshallah, at the end of the day, the end of that period, there should be some light at the end of the tunnel. So what is it that will take you till the end? That will be your a'mal and your good deeds. Allama an-Nawawi rahimahullah, a great muhaddith of the 7th century, he formulates a chapter which I feel is his brainchild. He mentions this chapter which you may not come across in any other book. He mentions it in his Riyadh al-Salihin, in his commentary to Muslim as well. Babu bayani kathrati turuqil khair. the chapter which explains the abundant forms of good, or the variety of good deeds. And in this chapter, Allama Nawawi rahimahullah sends a message to us, and that is, when it comes to our voluntary deeds, over and above our fara'is, over and above the obligations, when it comes to voluntary deeds, then every person has a preference. Every person has his own likings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it like that. There are many ways in which we can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many ways in which we can come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For some people it's easy to engage in nafil fast upon end, but it's difficult, for example, for him to read Quran. For some people it's easy to read Quran, but difficult to do some other nafil ibadah. But the maqsad is, whatever is easy for a person, he should hold on and stick to that. Imam Malik rahimahullah mentions that رُبَّ رَجُلٍ فَتَحَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِالصِّيَامِ لَمْ يَفْتَحْ لَهُ بِالْقِيَامِ. There are some people Allah makes it easy for him to fast, nafil fast on end, but to stand up in tahajjud salat is very difficult for him. وَرُبَّ رَجُلٍ فَتَحَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِالْجِهَادِ لَمْ يَفْتَحْ لَهُ بِالْعِلْمِ. For some people Allah makes it easy for him to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make an effort for deen. But for him to sit with patience in front of an ustad, or to dedicate some time for knowledge, is difficult. But at the end, Imam Malik rahimahullah mentions, وَكُلٌّ عَلَىٰ خَيْرٍ. All of them are doing good. All of them are doing something that is good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept different salahiyats, different capabilities in different people. And thereby Allah has seen to those needs that He has created a variety also of a'mal and voluntary deeds by which we can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the purpose is, respected friends and elders, for us to engage in nafil a'mal, because this is the real balance that will benefit us. Like in the world, a person, he tries his hand, he tries his luck at different lines maybe. He opens up a shoe shop, but it doesn't do very well. Then he opens a fabric shop, and he has to close that also until he gets it right. And when he gets that hardware shop, or whatever it may have been for him, then he's 60, all his life now he's in the hardware business. Or some person, for example, went to university, and he got rejected for one particular course, he had to take another course. He became a doctor, for example. So that's his line of duty in life, so to say. So in deen as well, respected friends and elders, what amal is easy for me, I should stick to that and ensure that come what may, I am doing this amal for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is only a'mal and only good deeds that will cross us, that will take us across the line. Many places in Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who have iman and they do good deeds. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, repeatedly. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ. Any male or female who does any good deed and who does good deeds, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, as a believer, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Allah says, we shall grant them a hayat طَيِّبًا, a pleasant life in this world. They will be safe from those fitnas. They will be living a life of peace and security from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as I was mentioning, so a person adopts a particular line. But in the world, if there's a sideline available, then he takes that too. A man is a doctor, but he's got investments in some property somewhere. He's got some business also in some other town or some other province. A person, mashallah, has got a factory, but is also doing import and export on the side, on some other line. So in the dunya as well, when the chance comes, and when there's a sideline available, then we take it. So in deen as well, respected friends and elders, we may not be able to term it as a sideline. But sometimes, for me, it's easy to do a particular amal. But there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity on the side to do something good that I normally don't do. That is now an opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing you with. And in Arabic they say, إِذَا هَبَّتْ نَفْحَتُكَ فَاغْتَنِمْهَا. When you get your chance, then seize it. Take that chance of yours. You don't know if you're going to get a second chance or not. In the hadith of Majma'u al-Zawaid, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions something to the effect that اِعْمَلُوا الْخَيْرَ دَهْرَكُمْ وَتَعَرَّضُوا لِنَفَحَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ. Continuously engage in good. Do good deeds as long as you live. But avail yourselves for those special moments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. In other words, avail yourselves for those chances that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Sometimes that is where my najat lies. Sometimes that is where my salvation lies. Now there are many incidents in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where people were presented with this opportunity. Those who took it saw the results in this very world, and those who left those opportunities were deprived of khair in this world and maybe in the akhirat as well. We know the incident That's in Bukhari of a person in some riwayat say that this person hadn't done any good whatsoever in his life. One day he was walking and he found a branch on the side of the road or on the middle of the road. And he thought to himself that how can I leave this here? It's going to cause takleef to the other Muslims going past. So he removes that branch from the way, the obstacle from the path. فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ Allah was grateful to him. He did nothing else but this in his life. The opportunity presented itself. And he took the opportunity. فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ فَأَدْخَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ Allah gave this person Jannah. Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, a famous Hanbali scholar, mentions, he says that there was a Sayyid family living in Balkh. Balkh, maybe somewhere near Afghanistan. And they were a very poor family, husband, wife, and a few daughters. The husband passes away. The wife and family were poverty stricken. But because of fear that people will taunt her in the town, they will say, you claim to be a Sayyid and you got no money, you are begging. So because of circumstance, she had to leave Balkh. And coincidentally, in winter, the narration says they were in winter as well, and they come to Samarkand. When they reach Samarkand, she leaves her children in the masjid, and she goes out to try and look for some food for her children. She comes across two gatherings in the town. On one hand is a gathering of Muslims, where the Muslim governor of the town is seated. And on the other side is a gathering. People are gathered around a very important Majusi, a very high-ranking fire worshipper, Persian of the area, a non-Muslim. So like any person would do, he will try his kind first. So she first goes to the Muslim and she explains her plight. She says, I have daughters in the masjid, my husband has passed away. And by the way, I am a Alawiyya, I am from this blessed family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this person's response, respected friends and elders, was, أَقِيمِ عِنْدِ الْبَيِّنَةَ أَنَّكِ عَلَوِيَّ Prove to me that you are Alawiyya. Prove to me that you are from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she says, I am in a foreign town. Nobody in this town knows me. There's no way I can prove myself. So he also ignores her and doesn't assist her. Now forced by circumstance, she goes to the non-Muslim. She explains her story to him. And she also mentions what she encountered by this Muslim. Immediately this person sends somebody to the masjid to collect her children from there. He takes them home and he cares for them. He gives them new clothes, food, etc. In the meantime, this Muslim goes home and he falls asleep. And then he sees in his dream, كَأَنَّ الْقِيَامَةَ قَدْ قَامَتْ He sees that Qiyamah has now commenced in his dream. And he sees people running from one end to the other. And on one side, he notices a large palace built with green jewels. So he sees this, and then when he turns, he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, O Nabi of Allah, for who is this palace? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, لِفُلَانِ لِلْمُسْلِمِ الْمُوَحِدِ For some particular Muslim who believes in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person then says, O Nabi of Allah, أَنَا مُسْلِمٌ مُوَحِدٌ I am also a Muslim. I also profess the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, I should get this palace as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies to him and tells him, You are a Muslim. أَقِمْ عِنْدِ الْبَيِّنَةِ Prove to me you are a Muslim. That a Alawiyya, a person from my family came to you and you asked her to prove herself to be from my family. Today if you want this palace, then you prove to me that you are a Muslim. Anyway, this person wakes up extremely scared and worried. And he searches the town for this woman, and he finds that she is by this Majusi fire worshipper, non-Muslim. So he tells him, I am more deserving to her than you, she is from my religion. Please hand her over to me. He says, no, impossible. He says, I will give you 10,000 dinars, 10,000 gold coins. He says, impossible, I'll never give her to you. Because from the time we have entertained these guests of ours, we can see the barakah and the blessing in them. Thereafter he says, that before I even went to sleep last night, myself and my entire family, we accepted Islam and we recited the kalima la ilaha illallah. And he says, I saw the same dream that you saw. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that that palace belongs to me. So respected friends and allahs, إِذَا habbat nafhatuka, when your opportunity comes, then don't let it go a begging. That Muslim, he tried to weave a way out. He tried to find an excuse not to assist her. And the chance went a begging. This Majusi grabbed the opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with hidayat in this dunya, and inshallah that palace and many more in the akhirah. Ibn Abi Dunya rahimahullah mentions, there was a person in Baghdad. He says that I saw a dream in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells me that go to a particular place and meet this Majusi again, the fire worshipper, and tell him, قَدْ أُجِيبَتِ الدَّعْوَى, the dua has been accepted. So he wakes up thinking to himself, where am I going to find this person? And why is he going to believe me? He doesn't believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he sees this dream repeatedly for 3 nights. Then he sets out and he goes to that particular area. He finds this Majusi, a very wealthy person, non-Muslim. And he asks him, are you so and so? So he says, yes. He says, how do you know my name? So he says, I saw in the dream our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving me a message for you that I should tell you that dua has been accepted. So he says, your Nabi took me by name. He said, yes, he took you by name. So this Majusi then cries and tells him, you know what is being referred to here? Let me tell you the incident. He says, I got my son married to my daughter. That was a custom in the Persian Empire, that they used to get their children married to each other. And through a very large feast, at the end of the night, I told my servant to prepare a bedding outside on the balcony for me to rest. When I go there, as I'm lying down, I hear the children of the neighbor speaking to their mother. And our neighbors, they were Ashraf, and they were from the descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were daughters, and they said to their mother, Ya Ummah, O our mother, قَدْ آذَانَا هَذَا الْمَجُوسِيُّ بِرَائِحَةِ طَعَامٍ. This Majusi fire worshipper has caused us taklif. He is inconveniencing us with the smell and fragrance of his food. The aroma is too much for us to bear. In other words, we don't have food. He has the food and we can get the aroma. This is causing us taklif and we want the food. So this person says, immediately I commanded and instructed some of my servants to prepare some food for them and take it to them. When it was taken to them, they were very, very happy. And one of the daughters then said, addressed me at the top and told me that حَشَرَكَ اللَّهُ مَعَ جَدِّنَا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you on Qiyamah with our grandfather, meaning with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, the rest of them said, Ameen. And he said, you are telling me Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, قَدْ أُجِيبَتِ الدَّعْوَى, the dua has been accepted. It is this dua of this woman. And bear in mind that now, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. So respected friends and elders, sometimes an opportunity presents itself. We don't realize in that is our najat. Mufti Sanjalvi Sahib Rahimahullah, very senior Mufti of the country who used to be in Mias Farm, his son mentioned a few weeks ago, he says, you know, my father gave me two advices. One of those advices was this. He says, when somebody comes to your door, then remember he hasn't come there for nothing. He has come out of need. He has come because he needs you and Allah has sent him there. Do what you can to attend to that person's need and to solve his problem. Like that, respected friends and elders, we can look in our own lives. There may be so many opportunities that come and go on a daily basis, sometimes on a weekly basis. But where can we also engage in that sideline, so to say? And that amal that on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make decision of our hidayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept us in this dunya and akhirat. Imam Umar ibn Abdul Karim al-Rawasi rahimahullah was a alim of the 6th century. He passed away in the year 503. When he was a very young boy, his father Abdul Karim was a head seller. He used to sell roasted heads in the town. And there was a muhaddith that had come in the town, a alim. So he also went to that shop, to the takeaway or restaurant, and he ordered a head, a roasted head, and he was waiting in the line. So that father Abdul Karim tells his alim, you know, I feel difficult. It's not right. It doesn't look right that you are waiting here like other normal customers. If you want, you can go and wait in the masjid, and I will send your order once it's ready with my son. So this person was very happy. He went. After a while, the son brought the roasted head free of charge. So this alim was very, you know, pleased, and he was taken aback by the ikram of this person. So when he finishes, he goes to the shop and he tells this person, he says, you know, I got nothing to repay you for the respect you showed me. But if you want, your son Umar, I can take him with me. I am on sojourn, I'm going on journey, I'm going to various other asatida. I can teach him myself and take him to my ustaz and my tutors who will teach him also. So the father was happy and he agreed. And because of the khidmat of the father of this alim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this Umar ibn Abdul Karim one of the greatest muhaddithun of his time. Ulama write, he had 3,600 ustads. Just to give you an idea, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah says, كَتَبْتُ عَنْ أَلْفٍ وَثَمَانِينَ شَيْخًا. I had 1,080 sheikhs. And this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with 3,600 shuyukh. He was the ustad of Imam Ghazali rahimahullah. He taught in Bukhari Sharif as well. He became a great muhaddith in his time. People said he was a walking library. He was the greatest hafiz of hadith in the dunya at that time. Where did it all start from? That one amal, which may seem to be insignificant, But this person showed ikram. He showed respect to the alim of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed his family and blessed his son in this manner. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Sahih Muslim again mentions to Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, la tahqiranna min al-ma'rufi shay'a, that don't belittle any act of good, irrespective of what it may be. No matter what good it may be, if it is an act of good, then do it. Don't think it to be too small or minute. Again, for the same reason, respected friends and elders, we don't know on which amal Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make decision of hidayat. There was a great muhaddith in Dioban, one of Fakhruddin Sahib rahimahullah. He taught hadith for many years. One alim mentioned, after he passed away, somebody saw him in a dream. They asked him, what happened, O Mulana? He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me. On what amal did he forgive you? You gave your life for deen, your life for knowledge. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me because of one action that happened one day. I was sick, I came to the masjid. I sat reclining against the wall and my feet were facing the Qibla. After a while I realized that this is disrespect to the Qibla. So I pulled my feet back in despite being in that condition and being sick. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked that amal of mine. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven me. So we don't know, respected friends and elders, which amal may be the one that will take us. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, badiru bil a'mal, hasten and rush towards whatever amal it may be, whatever we can engage in over and above the fara'is, that is what will save us. Fitanan ka qita'i al-layl al-muslim, that will save us against those fitnas that are as dark as the night, that are as consecutive as darknesses of the night, and that are as shady as the night, where we can't recognize good from bad. But if we have those a'mal with us, respected friends and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save us. Wal asri innal insana lafi khusr. Allah takes a qasam by the oath of time. Every man is in a loss. Illa alladhina amanu, but for those who believe. Wa amilu salihat, and they do good deeds. Wa tawasu bil haqqi wa tawasu bil sabr. And they engage people with the truth, the true religion. And they engage people to have patience and persevere on the right and on the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal and understanding the importance of these minute a'mal. They may seem in our eyes, but at the end of the day, they hold great weight in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same applies vice versa to certain wrongs. That's a separate topic altogether. But certain wrongs that a person may engage in, he may regard that to be very light and very insignificant. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ, but in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that may be something very grave and serious, and a person can be deprived of the good he engaged in his life. May Allah give us tawfiq. Wa afru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil
alamin. Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.